Fantastic. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love and your mercy towards us. And Father, we give you all the glory, all the praise through Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask for your anointing of your Holy Spirit that we could know and love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be back for 2024. It's good. And today, this talk today, it's the title of the talk I've put is Flesh, Our Flesh Versus the Spirit. So maybe over Christmas, my flesh got the better of me, I think. But I really felt to do this just because this talk's really personal for me. In a way, because I'm very, very weak. And I just, over the holidays, I came across this scripture. And I was really impacted by the Holy Spirit, by His presence again. Again, needing to be reminded that the power of God, how the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And a lot of times, our walk with the Lord, we're trying to get to God, and He's present with us, and we're not aware. So I want to share from Galatians 5, verse 16 to 23, where Paul urges us to walk by the Spirit. So he says, walk by the Spirit and to resist the desires of the flesh. Now, I'm just going to mention a little bit about the flesh firstly, just so it can help us, because what God wants to do, He wants to empower us with His presence and His love. And in fact, in Acts 2, we see this modeled after Pentecost. What we see is this change in salvation history where God's presence is now amongst His people, which Joe is exhorting us in worship. Jerry's been reading this book from Jackie Pullinger, which is an old book where she went into the walled city in Hong Kong many years ago in the 70s. And where she's seen this breakthrough in is the power of the Holy Spirit. So she wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She started to pray in tongues. And then she's seen this tremendous breakthrough just from praying in tongues. For 15 minutes a day, she started to see this manifestation of God's presence. And one day, this man came to her from America as a part of a mission, and he didn't believe in tongues. He did believe in tongues. He prayed in tongues himself, but he didn't really believe in the power of it. He just thought it was a prayer language for us to connect to God. And she said, oh, no, on the contrary. She says, let's do an experiment. She said, let's walk around the city tomorrow. And she said, let's pray in the Spirit as we walk. So this man thought it was a good idea as they went out. And as they went out and prayed in the Spirit, what happened? Miracles started to break out around them, this manifestation of the Spirit. Now, this is what Paul's talking about in the context of this scripture. If you can capture what God's given us, he's destroyed this power of the flesh that pulls us downwards towards ourselves. Now, he's talking here about an internal work of God, but it also manifests itself outwardly, externally, which we'll see. So the flesh is this downward pull towards ourselves, our ego, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but it's this downward pull towards our fallenness, our sinful nature. Anyone have the problem? Does anyone have the problem? We all have the problem. I have the problem in buckets. And this is why I'm so grateful to the Father for the Holy Spirit, what He's done for us. So we think of the sinful nature, we can think of sins, which are all good, outward sins we do, whatever. But there, for me, it's an internal thing, a pull towards my selfishness. Maybe where I've taken offence, which is a normal thing. Someone cut me off on the road the other day and I took offence at the person, which is a normal reaction when we're hurt, but it's a normal reaction. But the flesh pulls us downward and keeps us captive there. That's what it does. It holds us there. And it's things like our jealousies. It's things like fear, guilt, So these internal things, shame. And it keeps us captive in our emotions, and then we start to believe the things that are going around in our head about who we are and what we are, which are all lies. But this is the power of the flesh. It keeps us in our fallenness, this downward spiral. So with the flesh enslaves us and it keeps us captive. But God, the Holy Spirit, in his incredible gift to us, frees us from ourselves to actually love, a power that's beyond our ability. And this is where, this is a snippet I just got over the holidays, this, the power of the Holy Spirit, what he does, and my hunger for it, this hunger rose in my heart to overcome the obstacles that we face, whether it's inward or whether it's even outward in building the kingdom. So as we struggle with this downward pull towards our sinful nature, God, this is what he does. Now, this is what he's done, but what happens is the key is our will, what we want to connect to. Now, the sinful nature is so familiar to all of us, isn't it? We get caught in it. We believe the lies of it. We get caught in offense. We get caught in fear, and we believe the lie. It's so powerful, and it's what we think is us. But God has given us his very nature in us to overcome this downward spiral that pulls us into our fallen nature. And then we become Christians and are always trying to seek God to remove the problem when the solution is inside us. Amen. In the Holy Spirit. The life of God, the God of the universe, is inside us to overcome. What a gift God's given us. What a gift. And you know what moves him? When we desire him. Above everything else, above every gift, above anything about the kingdom, when we desire him for himself, what happens is his presence starts to become manifested in our life. And we overcome this downward pull. And guess what we're filled with? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. That's the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll read. But this is what he does. Now this is the Father's love for us to free us. The Father's love. And there has to be in our hearts a yes and amen to what God has given us. Otherwise, we stay in this downward spiral and we're always in this position. I'm saying this talk from a position of absolute weakness. I'm just as bad as any of all of us. I have passions in my sinful nature that drive me, that tell lies about me. So everybody's in this pond. We're all in it together. But God's given us the superior power. And it comes to us if we desire him. Him first. You read through the Old Testament. It's always about worship. It's always about who's first. It's always the greatest sin in the scriptures is idolatry, putting things before God. Our heart's affections have been caught in things that take us away from God because he wants to indwell us and empower us. And this is what the Holy Spirit has given us. And I come across this scripture in Galatians 5:13 where Paul emphasizes that true freedom, so I talked about the flesh, it's this downward spiral to enslavement, which, by the way, is where the devil reigns in that area. He conquers that area because we give our authority there. But then I read this scripture in Galatians 5:13-15, where Paul says that true freedom, if we want to be free, if we want to be truly human, true freedom is grounded in love. Now, this is a good thing about it, because love is embodied in the person of the Holy Spirit. Where does he live? In Christians. Paul says true freedom, if you want to be free from whatever it is, whether it's this downward pull, whether it's, again, we talk about sins as, you know, adultery, all these things, but they're internal pull on our hearts. It may be offense. I can't get over offense. It may be fear. I can't get over fear. But Paul says here that true freedom is founded in love. Love is a person who is God, who gives us the ability to love like him. Incredible gift that he's given us. Woo! We should be jumping. Really, I know it's, and I know the flesh pulls us and we get caught there. And this is where demonic power sits, because we're confused. And we question things like, does God really love me? We mayn't know it theologically, but our heart doesn't really believe it. And we feel guilt. And we feel shame. And then we believe the spiral. That's how God sees me. And guess what? It's a lie. Because the scripture said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son in the world to the world to condemn you, but that you might have his life. It's this great exchange that God gives us. But it's connected to our desire for God, our sole desire to have him. Then freedom comes. Paul says, he emphasizes this, that true freedom is found in love. Galatians 5:14 says, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. What a challenge. What a challenge. Seems daunting. Maybe even impossible. However, Paul, the apostle, guides us how. How do we do it? Walk by the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Otherwise, we're caught in the downward spiral of the flesh. So he's giving us another power to walk in. But again, that's what we choose to walk in. And this is that makes a saint out of you, because it's a fight. It's a spiritual fight, which we'll see. So relying on the Holy Spirit allows love to flourish, preventing us from trying to feel our emptiness, because all of us are empty without God, and all of us are trying to fill our emptiness without God. That's the pull of the flesh. So when we rely on the Holy Spirit, love starts to flourish and we don't feel empty anymore. And then we love out of that wellspring, out of that life. So in this way, we experience true freedom given to us by the incredible gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. He frees us from the entanglement of ourselves. Good news? Is it good news? Yes. Amen. It's good. It is good news. I was reminded again, because I was walking in misery for a few days. So the Christian life is learning to walk by the Spirit. It's learning to walk by the Spirit and answering these three questions. What is it to walk by the Spirit? Why is it crucial that I walk by the Spirit? And how can we practically achieve walking by the Spirit? So I've sort of mentioned it in a bit of a summary, but I want to go into the scripture and I want to look at three points from this scripture in Galatians about the importance of what it means to walk in the Spirit. So the scripture is Galatians 5:16-18. And I think I've got the ESV, which I thought I had the NIV, but if you want to turn there, or if it comes up on the screen. So it says this, verse 16. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the cravings or the desires of the flesh. So here we go. Walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Remember this, the flesh is this downward pull in my emotions, in my thinking towards sin. For the desires of the flesh are, desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. Because we want to follow God, don't we? But guess what? We can't follow God in our flesh. Only when our spirit's in union with the Holy Spirit does it make it possible. Which is freeing, but at the same time, it's about yielding. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, if you go down to verse 22, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So the first point, walking by the Spirit. Now, to understand this, this is crucial for the Christian life. For me, again, this talk for me is gold. It brings me so much peace and love of what God's done for me, the Father, what He's done. This scripture here, Romans 8, Ephesians 4, they're just gems for me because it teaches me about walking in the Spirit. So to understand walking in the Spirit, let's consider two images. So I'm just going to put in two images to help us understand it. The first image is in verse 18, which states, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So while it would be correct for Paul to say, if you follow the Spirit, and some translations have this, follow the Spirit, you are not under the law, Paul uses this passive voice, which shows, he uses this passive voice to say, if you are led. So he's saying to you, are you led? If you're led by the Spirit, and it's showing us the emphasis that is on the Holy Spirit then rather than our own strength. Do you get that? It's very, very important. It's a very subtlety. Because a lot of times we want to follow God where He sets the pace. Paul's saying, no, that's not the way to follow God. We have to be led in the passive voice. We have to be led by somebody to walk in His power, so the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit, not us. Okay, so the Holy Spirit doesn't lead in a manner of someone setting the pace. If it's in a pace, at the races, a car crashes and they get the pace car and then they get all the cars up to the pace and then the pace car goes off, that's not how the Holy Spirit leads. He doesn't set the pace. So if we consider the Holy Spirit as leading as this, I'll give as a visual image, to a locomotive pulling a train where the carriages are connected to the engine. In this analogy, we don't follow in our own strength, but we are led by the sheer power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. The word is F-R-U-I-T, not S. Fruit, because it's a person. And when we follow Him, we exhibit His fruit. What's His fruit? Love. Against such, there's no law. Because we're walking in His nature. So this is how, in this analogy, we don't follow in our own strength, but we're led by the sheer power of the Spirit. Now, when I catch the train to work in the morning, beside where I catch the train, beside the station on the opposite side, there's this freight train line, a single designated line, so the freight trains don't come through the station. And then some mornings they come through and you see they have an engine, a diesel engine that's not attached to the electric wires, but the engine pulls. When it comes through, it's like the place shakes, you know. And they might have 50 or so carriages on them. But the carriages in themselves have no power to move on that track in and of themselves. How do they move? Because of the engine. That's how we're meant to live the Christian life. Do I do it? Absolutely not. I don't do it. I fail. I'm talking to you out of weakness. But this is what the Word of God teaches us. When we're coupled to the engine, when we're coupled to Him, all things become possible because we're coupled to Him and His power. Otherwise, I'm captive to my flesh. I'm captive to these internal pulls on my heart. And I believe them. What I believe, I empower. And demonic power rests there. But when I start to fill my heart with the Word of God and see how God has created me, God's created you and me to continually receive from His fullness moment by moment. Every moment we're to receive. We've been created like that. Do we do it? Of course we don't, because of the downward pull of the flesh. But that's the spiritual life. Guess what? God loves you. Guess what? God wants to fill you with His love. Guess how it comes? By my desire for it. I see it. I see what the Scripture says. And I want it. I want to be set free. Not because I want to be free, but because I want to know love, which is God. I want to know Him. This is what I was created for. I was created for God to be filled with His life. I was created to be filled with His life. But the flesh fills its emptiness with everything else but God, because the flesh nature wants to be in control. It wants to control. God wants relationship. And this is what Paul is saying here. He's saying, so then to walk by the Spirit is to remain firmly connected to the divine source of power, allowing ourselves to be guided wherever the Holy Spirit leads us. Now, God knows we fail in this. He knows it, but it's the Word of God puts it before us so we can grow in walking by the Spirit. So it's not, can I get Jerry? I'll use Jerry's. Walking by the Spirit's like this. The Holy Spirit comes and says, let's go. He's coupled. I'm coupled to Him. Now, most of us walk like this. We're trying to follow God. Where are you, God? I need a breakthrough, God. Where are you, God? Where are you? He's inside us. He's saying, Paul uses a passive voice. If you are led by the Spirit, if you're led, you'll overcome the flesh, because the fruit of His life comes out of us. That's what Paul's saying. Now, my struggle is, because of the flesh downward pull, I want to be in control and I want to lead God. I want what I want to be. I want to have a breakthrough. I want to have a great ministry. I want to whatever. But I'm not led. And guess what it ends in? Absolute frustration. Frustration. But when I'm led by the Spirit, guess what happens? A spirit of adoption, which comes before in Galatians here. The Holy Spirit comes into my heart and I cry, Papa. And my identity is secured. So whether I'm a plumber or a preacher, it doesn't matter. It does not matter, because my identity is in Him. And offense, these things, fear, these things start to lose their grip, because my security is in Him who I was created for. And this is what Paul's saying. So the second image is that Paul uses is this, of how to walk in the Spirit, is in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. So if our Christian walk is to be a walk of love and joy and peace, then walk by the Spirit. If we want love, joy and peace, how we do it? Walk by Him, coupled to Him. Doesn't mean that our life's going to go have without challenges or suffering. But how do we have it? We're coupled to Him. I was created for it. We were created for this, for God. But again, here we see it's the Spirit's work is emphasized. It's not ours. He bears the fruit. And maybe Paul got his image from Jesus in John 15:5 about abiding in the vine. He says, Jesus said, He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But this is crucial thing that Jesus said, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't bear any fruit apart from being in Jesus. So to walk by the Spirit means to abide in the vine, keeping ourselves united to Jesus, the living Jesus, not cutting ourselves off from His Spirit. So the answer to our first question, what is it to walk by the Spirit? The answer is this: it's being led by the Spirit, coupled to Him, and it's bearing the fruit of the Spirit. It's bearing His fruit. Now, when I'm reading this, I can see people's faces going, "Oh my, that's, you know, that's not true." Well, it's not true in my life either. But this is the word of God. This is what we've been given. This is the potential for us to walk. And this is what some of the great men and women of God have challenged us in this spiritual life, that where they're connected to God. So it's bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is emphasized in this. It's a work of the Spirit. Yet the command is for us. And now this is this is what Paul's saying. So I say to you, walk by the Spirit. So he's giving us a command for us to do something. Someone say hallelujah. I'm like KC now, hallelujah. Yeah, that's a bit I don't like. All this he's given us, but he's giving us a command. You do something. Jerry, you do something. So I say to you, Jerry, walk by the Spirit. You have to do something. This is what he's saying. This is what unlocks it, the power of God. So our wills here are deeply involved here. We have to take personal responsibility for our spiritual walk. Amen. Can't be mum and dad. Can't be community. It's personal responsibility. So Paul says, so I say to you, walk, Olivia. Oh, she's my daughter, so I can say that. Walk by the Spirit. It's personal, direct personal. He's giving a command. You have to do something. But what we'll see is what we have to do and what he does is completely different. But it's our will. So our will's deeply involved. We must want to be coupled to the locomotive, the divine. We must want to abide in the vine. And there are some things we can do to keep ourselves attached to the flow of God's power. But before we ask how to walk in the Spirit, let's look at the second point is why is it crucial to walk by the Spirit? Now, I've said some of this as I've gone along, so I'm just going to go through it. I might just read it because it's, again, this is key to me. As I've gone over this and over this over the years, this is gold. So there are two key reasons that are outlined in the text found in verses 16 and 18. In verse 16, the primary motivation for walking in the Spirit is that it prevents the fulfillment of the desires of the flesh. So when we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill those desires. Galatians 5:16 emphasizes this point, stating, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh." So the first reason why it's crucial to walk in the Spirit is this. The initial reason is that I overcome the desires of this downward pull, the sinful nature. Now, it's essential to understand here. Now, this is what a bit of a Bible study here, and it has really helped me. The flesh, as Paul used it, most often the flesh does not solely refer to the physical body. This is where we get confused, as Paul does not view the body as inherently evil. Our bodies are holy. Our bodies are good, right? Instead, he refers to the flesh as the, this has really helped me, the ego, the I, right? Seeking to fill any emptiness in our hearts using its own resources. Who does that? Well, I do. Who tries to fill their own heart without God? I do. That's what Paul calls the flesh. It's my ego. Seeking to fill the emptiness in my heart, the longing in my heart to be loved, the desire in my heart to be known, the desire in my heart to be seen and accepted for who I am. When I don't do that in God, I have to fill that with myself. I did it for a number of years with surfing. That was my passion. I used to wag school. I used to do anything I could to go to the beach because I had this desire in me, which can be a good desire too, but it took me away from everything. It isolated me from everybody and it took me away from God because there was this emptiness in me that I had to fill because I wanted to be accepted. That's the flesh. It doesn't mean that those things are bad in and of themselves, but it's what we're drawing life from. This is what Paul's saying. So it's the ego. The flesh is the I, and it strives to satisfy itself with anything But listen to this, strives to satisfy itself with anything but God's love. God's love and mercy. How many of us here feel condemned by God? That's the flesh. God wants to fill us with his love. Whose love? Holy Spirit. Where does he live? Inside Christians. That's what the flesh takes us from. That's where the demonic realm holds us captive. There. So the flesh, the eye, strives to satisfy itself without anything but God's love. The flesh rejects the idea of fulfilling its emptiness. The flesh rejects the idea of filling its emptiness through faith in God. It'll try everything else before it comes to God. And guess what? It leads us to enslavement and captivity. It's what Paul's saying. Instead, the flesh, it seeks to control our lives through legalism or licentiousness. So it's legalism can come into religious legalism, or it just can come into legalism where I control my life so I feel good about myself. Or if I don't do that, I go to the other side where I fill my life with any licentious act to feel filled. And guess what? They all end up bankrupt. And this is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying the flesh desires to be in control. Well, who desires to be in control? I do. I absolutely do. And this is what Paul's trying to show us. I am the epitome of the flesh. But God, in his great love, has sent the Holy Spirit to overcome that power in me if I but repent and see the prize of him, my lover, and give my heart to him. He fills me. Guess what? He can't wait. He's longing to do it. But it's connected to my will. What do I want? What do I want? Romans 8:7 says this, the mind that is set on the flesh, guess what? It's hostile to God. It can't submit to God's law. Isn't that me? Yes. The encouraging news is that God's spirit conquers our flesh. Paul is not saying that these forces, the flesh and the spirit, are equal. He's saying that the Holy Spirit is infinitely stronger than our flesh. But it's our desire. However, verse 17 highlights that there's this ongoing struggle, which we all know about, don't we? There's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. So sometimes our soul feels like a battlefield. However, when we walk in the spirit, what happens is new God-centered desires start to rise. See, it's incremental. It's a relationship. It's not, we grow in this. So the second reason to walk or to be led by the spirit is in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. This doesn't mean ignoring God's moral law. Its fulfillment is necessary. The commandments still stand. God wants us to fulfill his law, but he wants us to give it the power to do it. Mark 12, 30 to 31 tells us that the entire law is summed up in this, loving God and loving our neighbour as ourselves. There's no greater commandment than these. Being led by the Spirit means not labouring to climb it like a ladder in our own strength, but being coupled to God and his law in a joyful way of living. Now, this was my experience when I was baptised in the Holy Spirit. I hated going to church. I hated everything about church because I was hyperactive, right? Stick a kid in a pew with heaps of people on a hot summer's day. I wanted to go to the beach. I hated it. I hated it. But when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, what happened was I was filled with this love and I had this desire for God. I had a desire and I started to love people that I didn't love. Firstly, myself. And I was attracted. All of a sudden, the priest was giving good sermons. I was a fanatic because of this person. He gave me this power. I love Jesus. I love church. I even had to constrain my giving because I was just giving because I was filled. Nothing was too great, if God asked me, because of this love poured in, broken the power of the flesh. So when we are led by the Spirit, we're free from the punishment or the oppression of the law, because what the law demands, I remember I always used to say, God, it's so hard to follow God. The Bible, I couldn't read, right? I really struggled at reading. We had this big family Bible about this big. I remember looking at it and going, mate, if I follow God, do I have to read that? It was too great for me. But what I didn't realize is that, and I always used to feel like I was going to be punished, that God didn't like me because I was surfing and doing some bad things. I always used to feel like, you know, I was on the outer. But what I didn't realize is that this is what the Holy Spirit does. He frees us from the punishment and oppression of the law, because what the law demands, the Spirit produces in us, gives us a power. And what he gives us is love. Against love, there's no law. Now, again, as I qualify, does it mean we don't follow the law? Absolutely, we follow the law. But the law in and of itself has no power, gives me no power to achieve it. Only the Holy Spirit, the law of love, who's a person who's living in me, now gives me the power to overcome the flesh. Wow. God is for me. He's my friend. He's my father. Wouldn't you do that to your children if you asked them to do a task? Wouldn't you ask them, if you'd ask them to do a task and you knew they couldn't keep it, you'd help them? This is what he does. He gives us a power over addictions. The power over the flesh, the power of the flesh is what he does. The Holy Spirit is a source of fullness in our hearts, overflows in love, conquering. This is an important point. The Holy Spirit conquers the emptiness that drives our flesh. The emptiness. Now, I'm just the last point and I'm going to finish. This is a small point and then I'll finish with this. How do we then walk by the Spirit? Galatians 2:20 says this. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What an incredible scripture. If you want to, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In baptism, we've died with Christ. In the Holy Spirit, we've been resurrected in his resurrection power, power of Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So this is what Paul has the revelation of. Now look what he says. And the life I now live in the flesh, which is in the flesh that we've been talking about. It's the body. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So who is the Christ who lives in Paul? He's the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit now lives in him. Remember I said at the start of Acts, in Acts 2, it models for us the presence of God in the people of God, moving in his power and authority. Moving in his power and authority, not our own power and authority. So Galatians 4:6 says this, the Spirit of God's Son has been sent into our hearts. How does Paul walk by the Spirit of the Son of Jesus? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Day by day, Paul places his trust in Jesus. Now, this is a practical thing. Day by day, Paul casts his cares, and we see this in his epistles, his cares on God. Paul frees his life from this downward pull of guilt, of fear, of shame, or whatever we put there. And as a result, is carried along by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. How then do we walk by the Spirit? The answer is plain. We stop trying to fill the emptiness of our lives with hundreds of pieces of the world and we put our soul at rest in God's presence. Or we stop trying to fill the emptiness in our lives with 100 pieces of accusation that's going on in our head about ourselves. And we place our trust in Jesus. The Holy Spirit will work a miracle of renewal in our lives when we start seeking God, meditating on his promises. It's really interesting. I read this scripture in Leviticus this week, or heard this scripture, that the kings, all the kings in the Old Testament, one of the stipulations of their call was they had to read the Word of God every day. We're kings, aren't we? See, this is where our will's involved. Meditating on the promises of the Word of God. Becoming more aware of his love and resting in him. So Galatians 5 6 says, walk by the Spirit and you're not gratify the desires of the flesh. So this is what we're going to finish with. This is really simple. Usually this has to come at a place in our lives. There's times in our lives where we come to a place of desperation. Now, this is what I sense, a little bit of sense in the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people here who you're weary following God. You're tired. And we're captive. So who's sick of doing things in the flesh? Who's sick of it? I'm sick of it. But that's a point of breakthrough for us. If you follow it through, because God's speaking in that place. But the point of breakthrough is we have to be desperate. We have to be desperate. We have to see the prize, who Jesus is, and we have to want to run with it. No matter what's happening, we've got to go for Jesus. We must want to be coupled to him, the Spirit of Jesus. We must want to be coupled. And we should know now from the scripture, he wants to couple himself to you and to us. And he is. He lives in us.